Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. At one point, through negotiations, the Carter administration was trying to get the American hostages transferred out of the embassy in Tehran into government hands. The abortive rescue attempt has brought the transfer this morning, but scattered to other cities, not into the government hands. Doug Tinnell has the story in Tehran.
As a precautionary measure, the militants' communique said, the hostages are already being held in various other places in Iran. The communique gave no details as to where and when the movement of the American captives occurred. It is not clear if the transfer out of the embassy compound includes all or just some of the hostages in order to take away any pretext for further action by President Carter, the communique said. The Iranian nation will participate in the keeping of the hostages. The communique called for increased security at strategic points around Tehran, including Ayatollah Khomeini's residence in the city and the National Broadcasting Center. Iranians have been told that there are still American forces in the desert around the American staging area. The government has asked their cooperation in a manhunt now reportedly underway. The militants say they have received documented evidence of complicity in the rescue mission by Iranian agents. They say they will turn the documents over to Iranian authorities for investigation. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Tehran.
The movement of the hostages brings reaction in Washington this morning. We have two reports, beginning with Robert Pierpont at the White House.
The dispersal of the hostages to other parts of Iran makes it even more unlikely that the Carter administration is going to try another rescue operation soon, and there was not really much chance of that anyway. The president, who was in the Oval Office by 7 this morning, has plenty of other things to think about, including some serious fence mending, both with members of Congress resentful they were not consulted on the rescue attempt, and with America's allies abroad who were surprised to find the military operation underway just after they had reluctantly agreed to economic sanctions and other peaceful pressures to free the hostages. Mr. Carter may have been awakened early this morning by a loud drumbeat from a Buddhist anti-nuclear protester, one of several dozen already gathered around the fence here for a demonstration later today. This is Robert Pierpont at the White House, and now for more on the Iran situation to Marvin Kalb at the State Department.
Officials at the Iran task force here say this would be the first time that the hostages would be transferred out of Tehran. Increasing the psychological strain on them, moved into totally new surroundings, increased security problems too for the embassy militants. Officials are struck, though, by the comparatively restrained reaction of the militants and Khomeini himself, both now in the weakened position of having to repeat an earlier warning that the hostages would be killed if there were any American military move in Iran. What is expected now, as the administration gropes for a new strategy for getting the hostages out, is a temporary reversion to the old strategy, that of pushing peaceful means once again, sanctions and the like. The raid, though it failed, is seen by officials here as having produced new suspicions between the militants and the Bodhisattva government over the question of whether the U.S. had the on-the-ground support of mercenaries, agents, even contacts within the government. The militants now seemingly calling for an investigation by the government of the government. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
The Carter administration is still trying to arrange for the return of the bodies of the 8 servicemen killed when a helicopter and a cargo plane collided as the mission was being pulled out of Iran. Tehran Radio says today that 4 of the bodies have been found at the site.
You can lead a Datsun to the pump, but you can't make it drink.
It's a long way.
It's a long way to empty.
In a Datsun.
My Datsun pickup doesn't drink. It sips.
And very slowly. Datsun trucks haul a half ton farther on a gallon than any bigger rig and get up to 21% better gas mileage than their biggest competitor.
Wow! It's a long way to empty.
High-speed Datsun pickups, tough on the road, easy on gas. EPA estimated 23 mpg, tough city driving, 32 highway. Use the 23 for comparison, your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less.
But you'd have to go a long way to even come close to a Datsun.
Wow, it's a long way to empty. In a Datsun, we are driven.
To build trucks that last and make gas last over the long haul.
The 4 servicemen who suffered burns but survived after the collision at the abortive rescue site are being flown to this country this morning. Ike Pappas reports from the Pentagon.
The 4 arrived at McGuire Air Force Base, New Jersey, a half hour ago and will be moved almost at once to the Brooke Army Hospital in Texas, where an extensive burn treatment center is located. The four are Marine Majors Leslie Petty and James Schaefer, Jr., and Lieutenant Jeffrey Harrison and Sergeant Joseph Byers of the Air Force. Meanwhile, officials here in the Pentagon are viewing with concern a late report from Tehran that the hostages have been moved from the embassy to various parts of the capital and Iran itself. They say, if true, this would make another military rescue attempt almost impossible. Further details of the aborted hostage rescue are expected today, and answers are hoped for to several key questions, among them, how the force of American anti-terrorist commandos hoped to enter the embassy compound and free the hostages, and whether the United States had expected to receive help from agents or others inside Tehran in getting the hostages out once the force arrived. Ike Pappas, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Reaction to the rescue attempt continues on the bitter side in Europe. Tom Fenton has the latest from London.
Press comment throughout Europe was almost uniformly critical. Even the staid London Financial Times concluded that the failure has weakened President Carter as a president and caused further divisions among the Western allies. Across the English Channel, the respected Paris daily Le Monde was openly disdainful, calling the botched operation the poor man's Bay of Pigs. Western European leaders have so far restrained their public comments, but privately, British, French, and West German diplomats said the action bordered on a double cross of America's allies. Only 4 days ago, the common market countries agreed to a two-stage plan of sanctions against Iran with the understanding that this would forestall military action by the United States. When the common market heads of government meet in Luxembourg this weekend for a previously scheduled summit, they will probably agree to stick to the plan, but proceed with greater caution when the time comes to decide on full-scale economic sanctions against Iran in mid-May. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
According to the Washington Post and New York Times this morning, the second stage of the rescue plan, which never took place, called for the U.S. strike team to helicopter to a point outside Tehran on the second night and then drive to the U.S. Embassy. Non-lethal gas would have been used to subdue the militants. Once the hostages were located, all would have been lifted out by helicopter.
There's a sports car you don't see on every corner. What lines! Baby really moves. Let's try to catch up and see what it is. Should have known that power, that styling. It's the 1980 Datsun 280CX. A 1980 Datsun 280ZX, and for the first time ever, an open T-bar roof. Closest thing to a convertible. What an exhilarating way to let the sun shine in. Yes, a new Datsun 280ZX is here. See it. Drive it. Open it up. It's the ultimate definition of awesome.
Datsun, we are driven.
To bring you the grand opening of the Datsun 280ZX.
An immediate test of voter sentiment on the rescue attempt may come today as Michigan Democrats caucus around the state. Bob Faw in Detroit sets the scene.
The aborted raid could make a big difference in today's caucuses. What happened worries some Carter supporters, like Detroit Mayor Coleman Young, who thinks the mission did the president more political harm than good. That the benefits of doing something, for those who complained that nothing was being done, were more than offset by the fact that the mission failed. For weeks, the Kennedy campaign has been calling Carter a failure. The raid might bolster that claim. But Kennedy's strategists here worry that now some who would have supported the senator will stay with the president rather than make Mr. Carter seem weaker to the Iranian militants. The big issue here, where unemployment is soaring, is still the economy. Most agree the contest is close, that the aborted mission could tip the balance one way or the other. The question is, which way? Bob Faw, CBS News, Detroit.
Senator Edward Kennedy cut short his Michigan campaigning yesterday and returned to Washington. This morning, he goes to the Pentagon for a briefing on the rescue attempt. Republican Ronald Reagan, campaigning last night in Bakersfield, California, again said he would have acted sooner.
As of 5 months ago, you would have known that the diplomatic efforts were going to fail. And once you knew that, then whatever the option was that he chose, and evidently it was this one, then would have been the time to have exercised that option.
Reagan said he's had no contact with the White House since the announcement of the mission failure. For the first time in almost 4 years, the interest rate on government-backed home mortgages is being lowered. Starting Monday, home buyers seeking FHA and Veterans Administration mortgages will pay a percentage point less, the rate dropping from 14 to 13%. The drop is seen as some help, but no cure yet for the ailing housing market. Carol Melton, an economist for the U.S. League of Savings Association, says it's a start in the right direction, but it isn't time to hoist up the flag and have a party. The president of the National Association of Home Builders, Merrill Butler, says we still have a long way to go before we can turn around the housing market. The Labor Department says that productivity increased in the first quarter of this year for the first time in more than a year. But the rise in efficiency of output was entirely in the farming sector. Among manufacturers, productivity continued to drop at an annual rate of 1.9%. Falling productivity seems a key contributor to inflation. General Motors has announced plans for a 10% cutback in its white-collar staff, meaning about 18,000 layoffs to come. The total is now something over 1,800, and still the seaborne influx of Cuban refugees continues. Beverly McFarland of station WTVJ Miami reports from Key West.
At daybreak, another ragtag flotilla of small private craft set out from the Garrison Bight boat ramp, headed for a rescue mission in Mariel Bay, Cuba. Many of the boats leaving are 18 to 26-foot open fiberglass pleasure boats. Their captains, Sunday fishermen without radio, compass, or charts to cross the tricky Florida Straits. In Key West, the Coast Guard station is flooded with distress calls 24 hours a day. Boats with engine trouble, no gas, seasick passengers, lost pilots. As the wind picks up before a mild front predicted to move through the Keys late today or tomorrow, the seas become dangerously high. This morning they are running between 4 and 6 feet, threatening capsize to the fleet of thousands of tiny boats dotting the 90-mile stretch between the U.S. and Cuba. But despite Coast Guard warnings, Cuban exiles and boats continue to pour into Key West to join the boat lift operation. Beverly McFarland for CBS News, Key West.
Negotiations continue today in Bogota, Colombia. There is still hope that the leftists holding the Dominican embassy will soon release most of their captives and fly to Cuba with the others. The 16 diplomatic hostages, including the U.S. ambassador, are now in their 60th day of captivity. And an early reminder, most of us will lose an hour of sleep tonight as clocks go ahead 1 hour for daylight savings time.
At his news conference, however, Iran's president did release one encouraging bit of information. Bonnie Sauter says he's agreed to return the bodies of the 8 Americans killed in that abortive rescue mission to the United States without condition. Bonnie Sauter said through an interpreter that local officials initiated the effort to return the remains of the American servicemen.
The governor of Khorasan today asked, today made this the suggestion to the Minister of Interior to return the bodies, and upon consulting the president over this matter, the president advised them to go ahead and return the bodies. So they will be returned and no conditions have been stated for them.
Iran's President Bonnie Sauter speaking through an interpreter. The State Department said it is gratified to get the news about the return of the American bodies. More CBS News after this message.
Dad, my skin is all itchy.
You have a rash. Dear, do we have anything for Amy's rash?
Uh-huh. Cordaid.
Cordaid?
Cordaid, the new hydrocortisone cream.
What I used for my eczema.
And what I used for my dermatitis.
Cordaid.
Cordaid also gives temporary relief for poison ivy, insect bites, and other itches and rashes.
And I can use it too?
Yes, even for you, Amy. For skin irritation, itches, and rashes, Cordaid's the one.
A new breakthrough. Cordaid with hydrocortisone. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Cordaid. Read and follow label directions.
The Alaskan Pipeline, Disneyland, whatever America builds, Wells Lamont is there. For over 70 years, they've made America's quality gloves. Every pair inspected 3 times by hand before they put their name on. Look for the white mule trademark that says Wells Lamont is stubborn about quality.
Stubborn about quality. Wells Lamont loves.
The Americans injured during that unsuccessful rescue effort in Iran are now bound for Texas. They took off from McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey within the past hour. More from Glenn Moyer of CBS radio affiliate WOAI in San Antonio.
Preparations are underway at Brooke Army Medical Center and Wilford Hall Hospital here for the arrival of four injured servicemen, all members of the team that attempted the rescue of the American hostages in Iran. The four are expected to arrive in the early afternoon hours at Kelly Field. From there, the men will be transferred either by helicopter or ambulance. Two of the men are said to be in serious condition, the other two in stable condition. Brooke Army Medical Center is recognized as the finest burn unit in the military, and this type of operation is not uncommon for them. Last October, 38 Marines burned in a fire in Japan were also brought here for treatment. Glenn Moyer for CBS News, San Antonio.
There is a fifth injured man aboard the jet headed to Texas, though he is said to be much less seriously injured than the four burned men. The fifth man is said to have sprained his ankle during the rescue operation. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kell reports that Secretary of State Cyrus Vance has been sidelined with what we are told is the flu. Vance has now turned most of his duties in connection with the Iran crisis over to Deputy Secretary of State Warren Christopher while he recovers. According to Kalb, some officials believe Vance is preparing to leave his job sometime later this year. The Soviet press today used such words as reckless and irresponsible to describe the abortive American rescue attempt in Iran. Other Eastern European newspapers took a similar stance. The conservative London Daily Mail noted that America, which the paper called the Temple of Technology, was made to look inept and incompetent because of the failure of its machines. Now this.
The Bell System presents Miss Phoebe Snow.
Reach, shout, reach out and touch someone. Reach, shout, call up and just say hi. Reach, shout, reach out and touch someone. Wherever you are, you're never too far. They're waiting just to share your day.
No matter how far I travel, I keep my family and friends close by. That's the beauty of a phone call. It lets you really be there, really show you care.
People from coast to coast, calling on friends to keep on close. Families who care so much, keeping in touch. Reach out, reach out and touch someone.
Why don't you reach out and touch someone far away? It'll make their day.
Reach out and touch someone. Reach out, call up and just say hi. Reach out.
More than 140 people were arrested during a demonstration this morning at the Navy shipyard in Groton, Connecticut. Almost 1,000 people gathered to protest the launching of America's second Trident missile submarine. Those arrested were reportedly trying to block the gates to the facility. Three small boats carrying 230 more Cuban refugees arrived in Florida this morning. More than 2,000 Cubans have been taken out of Cuba to Florida with Fidel Castro's blessing since last Sunday. And officials in the Canary Island have recovered the cockpit voice recorder from that British jet which crashed there yesterday. I'm Rob Armstrong, CBS News.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Roger Wilkins. The one question that I've gotten most often since I've been in the news business is, why don't you write about the good news for a change? Well, this is about good news. As a matter of fact, this is about news that is so good that a year ago, the odds against it happening as it has would have made a sane betting person keep her money in her handbag. The good news I am celebrating today is the birth of a new nation in Africa, Zimbabwe, and the way in which it has come into the international family. A year ago, Rhodesian security forces were locked in a bitter struggle with two guerrilla armies determined to wrest political power from the hands of the 230,000 whites in the country and to vest it in the hands of the 7 million blacks. One of the guerrilla forces was backed by the Soviet Union and the other was backed by the People's Republic of China. Nothing could have been more bitter than an anti-colonial war with racial and ideological overtones. Yet last week, the guerrilla leader who had been most feared by the white minority and who had described himself as a Marxist ushered in his nation's independence with a call on his fellow black citizens to renounce all racial hatred and to give up any idea of getting back at white people for past injustices. If ever we look to the past, Prime Minister Robert Mugabe told his people, let us do so for the lesson the past has taught us. Namely, that oppression and racism are inequities that must never again find scope in our political and social system. The Prime Minister had already given repeated assurances to the white minority that it was wanted in Zimbabwe and that its rights would be respected. And despite Mr. Mugabe's self-proclaimed Marxism, which had alarmed white analysts so, high Zimbabwe government officials attended the opening of the American embassy on the day after independence and declared themselves to be very pleased that the Americans were the first to take that step. A lot of people deserve credit for the good birth of this new nation. Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher of England, who convened the peace conference, her foreign minister Lord Carrington, who guided it to a successful conclusion, and the guerrilla leaders, Mugabe and Joshua Nkomo, who have displayed a fierce determination to build a new nation on hope and reconciliation rather than on bitterness and recrimination. The Zimbabwe story has just begun. There are enormous problems in the future, but the news up to now has been very good. This is Roger Wilkins for Spectrum.
Six personal viewpoints on Spectrum. You may agree or you may be opposed, but these opinions are not necessarily those of this station or the CBS Radio Network.